webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's hump day. That would be Wednesday, January 5th, 2011. The only first Wednesday of 2011 in the history of humanity. Welcome in on this first webcast of the new year. Glad to have you along with for the ride. We are webcasting to the world from the Bay of the Holy Spirit. And if you're listening live, we invite you to call us on the toll-free at 1-800-436-3260. That's 1-800-436-3260 if you're listening live in Canada or the United States of America. That would be your cue to call us. It's 9 o'clock on the east coast of the U.S. of A., so give us a call. We want to hear from you. If you're listening outside the U.S., as we learned last week, just coincidentally, because I don't know why it came to me. You think after 4 years plus of webcasting, I would have figured it out. But if you're listening from other environs besides the U.S. or Canada, you can call directly at 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. If you're listening live or on the archive, we are always happy to receive your emails at webcast@thegospelrevolution.com. And now, without any further ado, please welcome online for the first time in 2011, the president and founder of said revolution from the home offices. Well, I guess there's still the home offices.
Yeah, this one here.
What are the home offices in Houston, Texas? We'll explain that more later. But please say hello to Michael Williams. Michael!
Good evening, Brother Glenn. It has been a good day in Houston. I hope that all is well in Tampa also.
I have no complaints. All is not well, but there are many things that are well. And
an honest man you are.
Yes, well, you know, you try to be. It is well with my soul, I can say that. I can truly say that.
Now that's good
news. Yeah, it's good news. Did you have an exciting New Year's? Why are you laughing, Michael? Why are you laughing?
I'm sorry, you just asked the wrong question altogether. Yeah, boy, me and CNN, and I was in New York, I was in Beijing, I was in Barcelona, I was in New Orleans. I watched a drag queen drop down in a shoe. Goodness, I watched a guitar drop down in Nashville. I watched a pineapple drop in Hawaii. And, I mean, nobody could have had a better New Year's than me.
Yeah. Well, I was in bed by 9:30, so that was the excitement.
That's a better New Year's.
And although I did stay up and watch some of the same Fall de Ra, that's a good word, Fall de Ra.
Now, where'd you come up with that one? You always have these great words. I'm trying to keep up, Glenn.
It just came to me. And then, of course, you know, and this just shows, folks, just the absolute debauchery that happens when you get into the gospel. You are out there with the pimps and the prostitutes.
and God.
In bed before New Year's. And, well, we hope you had a good New Year's wherever you were at. And we are going to, you know, did you realize, this is amazing. This is our fifth calendar year doing webcasts.
Unbelievable.
Half a decade. That's incredible. And,
unbelievable.
It has not been boring, folks, and it's always much more exciting when you get involved. So Sean is waiting to take your call. Sean O'Halloran in studio, waiting to hear from you at 800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260, or outside the U.S. and Canada, as I said before, at 813-425-5773, 813-425-5773. So we've got a lot to talk about tonight. As you guys will see on the email newsletter that actually, as of the webcast time, has not gone out because of an emergency that Tim, our webmaster, had before he could get it out. But you will read about it. Greg Ambergy reported on his Facebook a few days ago, Michael, that a friend of his had been rushed to the hospital with a heart condition. And when Greg posted it on his Facebook, a lot of Greg's Christian friends, of course, right on cue, posted on his Facebook thread that they would be praying for this guy, Mark, this old friend of Greg's, that they would be praying for him. And, of course, taking my cue from George Howell, I thought, well, I think that I will tell them that I will not be praying for Mark. But I thought better of it. And Greg appreciated the fact that I didn't try to stir it up in the middle of, you know, a crisis for this guy and these people who obviously cared and do care about this fellow Mark. Anyway, Mark's taken to the hospital, and it just so happens that his doctor is an expert in the cardiac condition that Mark had. He had developed a machine to take care of the amount of fluid that was filling Mark's lungs and that was causing the problems with his heart, and, you know, basically saved Mark's life. Now, he's got a tough road to hoe. I talked to Greg earlier. But, of course, many of the Christians on the Facebook and in Greg's life were thinking that it was their prayers that had been answered for Mark. And so it reminded me of a scene in the movie Great Balls of Fire. We've been talking about Jimmy Swaggart for the last couple of weeks and his new satellite channel, but it reminded me of a scene in Jimmy Swaggart Cousins' life story, the movie that Dennis Quaid starred as Jerry Lee Lewis, Great Balls of Fire. This is the 1950s, and Jerry Lee Lewis is just starting to hit it big. He pulls up to a sidewalk that Swaggart is preaching on. Swaggart played by Alec Baldwin. And they confront each other. Swaggart's car is broken down on the side of the road by the sidewalk where he's preaching. And at the end of the scene, Jerry Lee Lewis flips Jimmy Swaggart the keys to Jerry Lee's brand new car, and Jimmy Swaggart says, "Thank you, Jesus." And Jerry Lee Lewis says, "Thank you, Jesus. You better thank Jerry Lee Lewis." I just thought it was a very cute scene. But it brings home the point.
Yeah.
People want to both credit God, Michael, and blame God as well for things that, frankly, God has absolutely nothing to do with.
Well, you know, that is my persuasion. Now, that's not just a, it is a theological persuasion, number one, that God is not involved in these things. But it is also an issue of mental and emotional stability for me. The ability to embrace reality, the ability to deal with life, you know, the whole thing is really, it really is an amazing subject to even talk about, because quite honestly, the only way you would have this discussion about God doing things and not doing things would be between a believer and an atheist. But here you have extreme believers who have an opinion about the finality of the involvement of God in the human race, and people say, well, so he just left us here. Well, I don't call redeeming us and empowering us with truth just leaving us here.
Right, and I think that is a powerful second point that you make. It's good to know that we're redeemed, but to have infused us and to have provided us with the truth that we can contemplate and meditate upon, that does bring relief. You know, you talked about it being a theological discussion, but it is more than just a theological discussion, because you said, Michael, that this having a more rational or stable view of this thing brings relief to you. I think that there are multiple hundreds of millions of people around the world, whether they call themselves Christians or believers in God or whatever, that when somebody thinks that they prayed and that God answered their prayer in the affirmative, or that somehow God saved them from a catastrophe, and then the other person who's listening to the story, who learns of the story, had a very similar situation in their life, and their loved one or their friend did not find relief, was suffered or died, that's got to bring tremendous stress when they think that God is involved in orchestrating these situations that the vast majority of the times, I would say 99.9% of the times, there is an explanation that is observable and that is documentable.
Yeah, no doubt. And of course, in my, I hate to say position on this, but it's the only word that's coming to me. In my understanding of it, if anybody needs to believe that God was involved in something and did something, I do not oppose them. I don't stand up and say, no, he wasn't. Because the issue we're dealing here is what people's views are anyway. That's all that we're really talking about here. And the simple thing is that I'm presenting a view that everything was finished at the cross, and that daily involvement by God. First off, for every time you cite that God intervened and somebody got better, God intervened and the finances come in, God intervened and the relationship got better, then you're going to have 90 or 99 of the ones where God didn't intervene. Or you're going to have certainly a large group of them where nobody prayed at all and it got better anyway. And it got better for Mormons. It got better for atheists. It got worse for Mormons and atheists. And, you know, it just seems to be another way that kind of divides us into groups, and I everybody knows my heart in this. At least I've stated it many times. My problem, and it all goes back to the plane crash in Chicago back in the early 90s. I'm sure at least the early 90s, where a large jet took off, is probably an L-1011, I believe, and the jet took off, and very soon after takeoff, it crashed, and around 300 people were killed in that crash. And in rummaging through that crash, they heard a baby crying, and they lifted seats, they lifted debris, and there in the middle of it, without a scratch on the baby, that it was reported, that was a baby that was unharmed. And regardless of any persuasion, it seemed, everyone was saying this was a miracle and that I remember the statement specifically being made that God must really have a purpose for this child's life. And for the first time in my life, I listened to that through the ears of the families of the other 299 passengers, if it were 300. And my, what a devastating statement. What they were using to try to encourage the world was actually devastating. Actually, out of 299 people, if it were, there would have been thousands of people totally devastated by those comments, because the translation of that is that God had no purpose for these other people's lives, regardless of their age, regardless of their station in life. It just wouldn't make any difference. So,
not to mention all the other potentially hundreds of thousands of people who've had family die in other plane crashes, or about automobile accidents, or how about other tragedies, wars, fires, robbery attempts. I mean, this is the thing. You're right, Michael, that, you know, there's a time and a place, and as I was talking, I didn't make a mention of anything on Greg's Facebook about his friend, about how that I wouldn't be praying in the same vein, because, I mean, there's, you know, obviously there's civility and there's a time for things that are appropriate. But the amount of damage that has been done by people claiming God's blessing when so many other people did not receive a similar blessing. You know, your series on spiritual understanding and the true nature of the word being spiritual literally means to have a rational, logical, mental disposition. What we're talking about here is looking at these comments and these thoughts vis-a-vis the gospel from a rational, logical, mental disposition. This is something that is seriously missing from the church, Michael.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, and everybody knows my caution with people. When I come out and make a statement that is really cutting edge, I usually do that having really done everything I could do to prevent myself from doing it, instead of the other way around, as many people suppose about me, is that I just can't wait to say something that is just, you know, just shattering to people, or that just drops a bomb. That's what people used to say about my teaching, is that I go in and drop a bomb and then leave. And I've never done that flippantly or lightheartedly. In fact, I've always done it, Glenn, reservedly, usually trying to talk myself out of saying it as much as I could possibly do, and then wind up, you know, in the middle of something. And if there's something that becomes real and true to me, then I'm going to wind up saying it regardless of how I counsel myself. You know, I may come up and say it, a little bit differently, or coded a little bit, but not usually. But this is a very important issue, and there has been tremendous amount of heartache and damage, and I see more souls cast down. I do more talking to people about the miracles that didn't take place than I talk with people about, quote, the miracles that did. And even for those, and it seems even especially hard for those who seem to believe they've experienced a miracle, it's harder for them because now that they believe that God intervened because of prayer, especially because of prayer. I don't know what God does and does not do. We're talking about the issue of us invoking God and getting a response from him. And but those who have felt that they did, it seems that the rest of life is actually even more difficult for them, because it's, how do I do that again? Why did it happen once? why do I do the same thing and it doesn't happen again? Do I pray more? Do I fast more? Do I commit more? Have I sinned since then? It just has never produced. Whether the persuasion is that the intervention from God took place or didn't take place in the religious mindset, neither is mentally or emotionally healthy in the long run.
Exactly. And one of the reasons, besides the fact that we believe it's the truth, folks, that we are so engaged in sharing the gospel, is because we want people to find relief, Michael. I mean, we want people to find peace in their heart. It is resident in each human being. It's the peace of God, the Prince of Peace, the Holy Spirit is resident in every single human being. They just don't know it.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. And to be able to get this persuasion over to people of equality, if we're going to preach equality in the eyes of God, we have to deal with these things about prayer being a source of God intervening. Because the fact of it is, in the long run, that does break down and put people on different levels, if you will. We would all rejoice. Goodness gracious, if anybody even calls in and says that, that God intervened, I don't question that at all. I'm not going to. I will rejoice with them, for what has happened. But I think all of us need to hold a reservation in my thoughts, in all of our thoughts about coincidence, because there's a lot of things that coincide that really do not validate each other. Just because we did this and right after that happened, this happened, doesn't necessarily link the two things together.
Right, and the whole thing is that whether somebody be a devout Christian or somebody who just kind of believes in a greater power, when you equate your position with that greater power, with God, based on your circumstances, you are circumventing the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel is everybody is good to go with God, regardless of their circumstances, regardless of their behavior, regardless of their actions. And that's the good news. That's the Sabbath rest. That is the peace, the shalom that we speak of. And it is a slippery slope, Michael, when people start contemplating their position or God's blessing, or is God angry, is God happy with me, based on what is happening in their lives, or based on an answer to prayer. This is why we talk about it, because it really is taking the place of the ultimate truth of God's, Michael, everybody is in the will of God, no matter where they're at, no matter what there is happening. All the people that you viewed on New Year's Eve around the world that were celebrating, that maybe the last thing in their mind was God and Jesus Christ, all of those people were in the perfect will of God. They just don't know it, and they don't know it because they don't know what the will of God is.
No, absolutely, and these are the things that that are very subjective. It's really amazing because, of course, Jim Richards and others of that ilk accuse me of a subjective gospel, and because I'm supposed to be trying to excuse my lifestyle, which I'm not sure what that lifestyle is. I'm not sure how many sins I committed sitting here watching New Year's Eve passed by on CNN. I mean, my lifestyle is just really off the chain here. So,
Well, let me ask you something. Did you condemn the drag queen being dropped down in the shoe in Key West, Florida? Did you condemn her in her heart or your heart?
I tell you what, I was proud of that girl. Anybody that can pull that off, you know, more power to them. You know,
there's one sin right there. You know, we've been talking about Swaggart. And the reason we've been talking about Swaggart is because, number one, he's got a 24-hour satellite channel now where you can get Jimmy Swaggart 24/7. Amazing. But it's such a great example of legalistic Christian bullshit 24/7. And I watched him today for a little bit, Michael. He was at some big crusade, and he was preaching hard about sin. And about how you just have just so much time. Now, of course, this predates all of his problems starting in the late 80s that we learned about. And I really wish that we could listen to it and record it because it really takes a lot of chutzpah, a lot of gonads for them to be airing these things, him preaching so hard and so clearly trying to preach his own behavior out of his life. And he was talking about how the grip of sin being so dark and how many times that a person has repented and has received the forgiveness of God and he's weeping oh my God, and of course everybody applauding and him being so dramatic and trying to preach the own behavior out of his own life, and of course with absolutely no result at all, except a negative result. And this is the religion that we come against the strongest, is the cult of Christianity, because it is so damaging. It's the only religion that claims Jesus. And then, of course, adds the legalism and the condemnation and the guilt, and causes people, Michael, as Paul said, to be double-minded in all of their ways. Very unstable religion.
Yeah. Well, actually, it was James that said that, but I think it was one of the wiser things that James said. But, you know, it is, that is the thing, you know, where this whole gospel revolution has come to is the freedom and the ability to really stop and examine these things, you know, without, you know, calling. The thing of it is that now we can look at them without calling anyone's righteousness into question, without calling in to question their relationship with God. So it gives us all just a little bit more objectivity in this process. So I just found this really being at the heart of the matter for me. It just became such a heartfelt thing that I needed and wanted to understand. I had sat through so many meetings. I had done so many meetings and seen so many altar calls, and all you have to do is have faith, and just the prayer will save the sick, and on and on and on and on. And I watched the people come and go in the same conditions over and over, and many of them that traveled many miles every place that we went during my days with Norval Hayes. And none of those people ever got relief from their situation. It was always people outside of Norval's meetings that wound up with these great stories that came into the meetings. It just began to, I couldn't handle what the people's hearts were leaving those places, the condition their hearts were leaving there in. It got to the point to where that I remember in a lot of frustration, in a lot of personal persuasion, that I really did. The issue of God intervening in a situation, and even the places where we could construe, because a prayer took place at 1 o'clock and somebody responded at 5 minutes after one, or right at one, or you know the next day, or whatever. Even where it could be construed to be that way, I just saw so much disappointment in people. You know that it didn't leave a great encouragement for others. To the point to where that I remembered, I prayed, I took this into very serious consideration, and I had a conversation with the Lord, and I told him that I didn't understand all of this, obviously, and I said, you know, the one thing that I do know is that the people who have stood and proclaimed that something has happened because of a prayer, because of a this, because of a that, that it has not left others with encouragement. It's left them with wondering what it is they haven't done. Did they pray right? I mean, we all are so predisposed to drift back towards guilt and shame that it really takes strong influence of the gospel to stay out of guiltiness and judgment before God. And so I prayed. I saw it as something that didn't help people when these things were proclaimed, as I've seen them in my years as they've been proclaimed, that I went before the Lord and I spoke to the Lord and I, from my heart, and I prayed and I said, you know, I said, if you ever want to do something miraculous and you want everybody else to know about it, I'm telling you now, you need to do it for somebody else. Because if you ever do anything miraculous for me, I will never tell anyone. Now, that sounds pretty bold and pretty brash, but I did that from a position of experience over the years and of learning up to that point, and a conclusion that I came to, that even if God did a miracle for me, that me standing up and proclaiming it was going to do nothing but create another religion, cause people to see me differently, that God had done something for me, or that my prayers were honored, or that I was obedient to God. Because you can disclaim all of that, all that you want, but you've got to understand that other people standing around in desperate need are going to read something into it.
Right, because no matter what, they are going to see that as somehow you have a special favor with God that for whatever reason they do not have. And the truth of the matter is they have the exact same favor with God that you have, that I have, that everybody has. They just don't know it. And they don't know what that means. And that is why we're doing, folks, what we are doing. That's why we come to you every week. That's why Michael travels. That's why we have all the CD teachings and the Facebook and the website and everything else. That's why we ask for your money, so that more people can know that they have the same favor with God that Bill Gates does, that the Pope does, that Jimmy Swagger does. We're going to talk more about this. We're going to get your emails and hopefully your phone calls at 1-800-436-3260 when we return on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
What do you want to do? What's your heart say? How many people have wound up married
because it was supposed to be the will of God. These are the things that you're all upset about. What would you like to accomplish, regardless of what age you are? Do you know how many people's lives have been paralyzed by sitting back waiting to figure out what the will of God was for their lives? I hate that doctrine. I absolutely detest it. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul.
That was just a sample of what Mike Williams said when he spoke at the 3rd Annual Gospel Revolution Convention in Calgary. Mike taught the book of Romans verse by verse from beginning to end, and you will never hear Paul's letter to the Romans taught like this. Connie Nelson told me after attending the convention that it changed her life and she will never see the Bible the same way again. Vic Dobrynin called it groundbreaking stuff, and David Dwyer of Brisbane, Australia said it felt like he had just been through a 10-hour detox program. This 11-hour series entitled The Book of Romans Revealed is available on audio CDs for $88 plus shipping and handling, or you can download it right now for just $44 at gospelrevolution.com. You have to hear it if you're going to believe it.
Thank you, Robert Moore. Much appreciated. Speaking of Vic Dobrynin that Robert mentioned in that spot, Vic and the good folks in Calgary will be hosting the Grace Conference coming up here on January 28th through the 30th in Calgary. Just go to gospelrevolution.com for the information about how to make reservations at the Carriage House. Vic's number is there on the homepage at gospelrevolution.com. And you are going up to freeze your tuchus off.
Don't remind me. But I tell you what, the trips to Canada are something I so look forward to. I think they could drop it another 20 degrees and I'd be quite all right. it is just, I just cannot describe to you the inspiration I get from going back there. You got to realize that during the leanest of years, the Canadian folks are what are those who held this together. They really were, and all across Canada, but most specifically there in the Calgary area. We have consistently held meetings there for many, many years. Now, the crowds have varied greatly, that is for sure, but there's always been people there that I have been able to rely on, to encourage me personally. So I really always, regardless of the weather in Calgary, I always look forward to being there. I'll be very safely housed inside the Carriage House Inn.
It's nice at the Carriage House there up there in the north. Yeah?
No doubt.
Hey, okay. As we are webcasting, Canada is actually probably 90% of the country is tuned in to the Canada versus Russian World Hockey or World Junior Hockey Championship out of Buffalo, where as we webcast live here at about 9:40 on Wednesday night, Canada and Russia are tied 3-3, and we know how hockey crazy all of Canada is. We've got a bunch of gospel crazy people in Canada, which we're happy for, but everybody in Canada loves the hockey. But I was watching it earlier, Michael, and they were talking about one of the Canadian players' sisters who is battling cancer. And if it was an American telecast, they would have said the classic, "Our thoughts and prayers are with them." But they did not say that on the Canadian broadcast. They said, "We want the player and his sister to know," whatever their names were, "that we're thinking positively about her situation." And I thought, you know, that's really an interesting difference between the U.S. and Canada. As strong as the evangelical Christian mindset is in Canada, it is nothing compared to what we're still dealing with here in the United States.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Well, this is an area that I think all of us have room for learning and understanding more. You know, as for me, this is my resolve, and let it be heard. Unless God does it for everybody, I will tell nobody.
That is awesome. And God did something for everybody. He redeemed everybody, ladies and gentlemen.
Absolutely.
He loves everybody. He cleansed everybody from their sin. We just need to tell more folks. And now online, before we get to your emails and your other calls, we have the administrator and the secretary of defense of the Gospel Revolution from the new Florida offices of the Gospel Revolution in Lake Pana. I'm not even going to come close to pronouncing this. Somewhere in Florida, Jeff Robertson's online with us. Jeff!
Yeah, the proper pronunciation is Lake Panasoffkee. And,
Lake Panasoffkee.
Yeah, I'm telling people you're at Wildwood.
You know what? I'm closer to, well, no, I am closer to Wildwood. I really am. I'm 30 minutes south of Ocala.
Yeah.
All right, so as you folks know, Jeff has departed the Houston environ. Michael is moving out of his house, and this is just a financial reality that we are embracing and not decrying by any shape, matter, or form. One of the Gospel are we at liberty to say which Gospel Revolutionary is helping in Florida there?
In Florida?
Yeah,
we are at total liberty. That would be Dan Myers, and Chris Myers is probably listening right now. That would be his son, and we thank you, Chris, and your wife.
Yeah, the entire Myers
you
family.
Do, and your father.
Yeah, the entire Myers family is to be thanked for this. When this arose, where that we were going to have to make some changes, the one thing that I certainly didn't want to change is Jeff's position with the ministry, which has had such positive impact, which I don't even have to say that because Jeff's communication with everyone out there has been very well documented on a daily basis, whether it's been through mail or if you're just getting your order, that's Jeff, okay?
and checking out the homepage, or I mean,
yes.
Jeff has done a tremendous job, and now is going to do it and continue to do it out of Lake. What is it, Panasoffkee?
Lake Panasoffkee. It's a good Seminole Indian name.
And what does it mean?
Wait a minute.
No, all I know is it's Seminole. Don't put me on the spot like this. Now I got to Google it.
No, what does it mean? What does it mean, Damon?
No,
what
I
does
just
it mean?
Found out it was Seminole. I didn't know what it meant.
All right. Well, just you'll get off and you'll Google it, and we'll find out because we got to tell
all
you
right.
What Panasoffkee means.
Well, part of the reason I called in, and thanks, and when you guys want to make me sound so great like that, please do it on a night when I'm, like, on vacation. I'm not going to hear it. But
yeah, whatever.
Because that was wonderful and great, and thanks. What made me call in is actually, now I'm able to actually see who is logging in from where. And Glenn,
we're watching you.
So I know, yeah, but I don't know who's who. I just know by country and by city and all that good stuff. So, I have a time delay, but we have people calling in from other countries. So Glenn, very good move to let people from other countries know what the direct line is and not the toll-free number because, you know, not all of them can access us through that. I would love to hear from people like Marcel Rose, who's in Holland and, can't use our 800 number. We've got people all around the world who are listening to us right now. And it would be great if they could call in. If you have the means to call in, that'd be great. I would love to hear from you guys. We heard from Australia last week. We hear from Canada a lot. Of course we hear from the United States a lot. But, you know, people want to know that this thing is spreading around the world, and that is great. And a side note, I have lived, I know what it's like to live a life without prayer, and it's very powerful. But I just drove God, I drove halfway across the continent, and when I was passing police officers at 85 miles an hour, I bet you at least once I said, God, please don't let him catch me.
Well, you know what? But I've uttered that prayer, and I got pulled over, so you know what? It don't work.
Yeah, I know. I've got
Well, now we got to figure out why it works for Jeff and doesn't work for Glenn.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
well, you know what? I'm prettier.
Yeah, we're happy that you made it there. We're happy you didn't get pulled over, and we're happy that you're back in Florida. And get off the phone now.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks, Jeff. We love you.
Bye, Jeff.
I love you too. Love you both.
Love
Bye,
you, Matt. There's Jeffro Robertson, the administrator and the Secretary of Defense of the Gospel Revolution. So, see, now that number is available to you because Jeff was actually on line number three, but the line is available. And from all the countries around the world, when you're listening, and it's just quarter to 10 o'clock on the East Coast, that is your signal. Wherever you're listening from, let us hear from you. Very encouraging to hear other voices, other accents. 1-800-436-3260. 800-436-3260. Or if you are outside the U.S. or Canada, call 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. You can email us, and we hope you do. For those, and we know that most people do listen on the archive, always contact us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Got some emails. You ready for some, Michael?
Let's do them.
All right. Let's get your comments. Now, this is a question from the poet laureate of the Gospel Revolution, Jackie Bernard. He wants to know, please comment, Michael, on the fanatical fervor regarding the apocalypse coming in the next year by 2012.
Oh, that is next year now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I will comment on it as I commented on 88 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 88. I will comment on it as I did in 92 when the end of the world was again forecast. I will comment on it again as I did just before the turn of the century. 2012 will come, will go. It will have tragedies. It will have wonderful things happen, as each year does. It will be different from any year. The one thing I guarantee, it'll be different from any year you've ever lived. And everyone will be able to say that. And but it will come, it will go, and you will watch 2013 dawn if you happen to be one of the fortunate ones who live through and you're not in a health crisis and die, or you're in a car wreck and die, or you know, somebody does away with you. You're going to be here to see 2012. That's my response to this fervor about the 2012 apocalyptic prophecies that are being blamed on the Mayan religion and the Aztecs. And, oh my gosh, I don't even know who all they got involved in this one. But the Christians certainly have jumped on it. It's amazing how they can condemn all the religions of the world until that religion stands up and forecast an apocalyptic end of the world and
did you support it. Did you just hear where all these hundreds, if not thousands, of birds dropped out of the sky?
Yeah, black
and
birds.
They wanted to
Blackbirds.
Yeah, they were blackbirds. And that happened in Arkansas. And then CNN had a temerity to have Kirk Cameron, our good buddy Kirk Cameron from TBN, from Growing Pains fame, who's, of course, an evangelical whack job. And much to Kirk Cameron's credit, He said, why are you having me on here? You should be talking to a veterinarian. I mean, I was kind of proud of the kid for not, you know, taking advantage of that moment and try. I mean, the direct quote was, why are you talking to me? This is, you make some end time event out of this. And this is an animal doctor issue.
Well, hats off to Kurt. My goodness, yes. You know, Kurt is trying to stick to what the Bible says, and I guess there's no prophecy about birds falling from the sky, or he'd have been all over it.
Or in Arkansas, at least.
Yeah, for sure. We know it's not going to happen in Arkansas because we got a lot of one of the buckles of the Bible Belt.
Well, and we just heard from Canada, from Howie and Amanda Wirch. So they're listening in Canada, but they are watching the game, and they say, "Hey, you revolutionaries, just listening to the webcast and watching the Canada Russia game. Russia just scored to go ahead 4-3, and now we are worried. Hard to concentrate, but our hearts are with you, Howie and Amanda Wirch, who were at the first International Gospel Revolution Convention. I'll never forget. They met me in the hallway of the hotel there, the Marriott there in Houston, and they had "Greetings, you beautiful humans." T-shirts made for me they're so great. I hope they come to the next convention, and I hope they can make it over to Calgary at the end of January. The good news is that we are redeemed, we are saved, we are righteous. The bad news is that Russia just went up 5-3 against Canada with just a minute to go. Yeah, that's not good. Oh, well, let's get on to more emails, shall we?
We shall.
This is an email that came in from Darlene Cove. She just wants us to know that they are loving and enjoying the webcast and how wonderful it was to hear the Aussie accent last week. They spent 2.5 years there in her teens. Darlene did. That's Darlene and Dean Cave writing, which we greatly appreciate. Of course,
that's
Jeff
awesome.
And Kate Benham calling last week from Australia. Happy to report that the Benhams, although they've had quite a bit of rain where they're at in Australia, have not been affected by the horrible flooding that we've seen on the news. And so good to hear good things from our dear brother and sister in Canada. So got another email, Michael, here. We got a few more minutes. This one comes from Paul in Greenwood, Indiana. He says, hi, I have a question. This has racked my brain. Can you explain to me your take on Romans 3-5, I think? If believing or trusting in Christ as Savior is not required to enter into Christ, it seems as though Paul taught that we have something to believe on him in order to be saved. And while I understand there may be something I am missing, I'm just wondering if someone can help lay this out for me point by point. Paul talks about righteousness being imputed to us if we believe, and I only mention that verse because it's one verse I've tried to see in the light of this teaching, that we are all redeemed by the faith of Christ. If God imputes righteousness to us based on our trust in Christ, I don't see how you could come up to any other conclusion. But here again, I may be missing something. Thanks for any help. And that's from Paul from Greenwood, Indiana.
Well, the wonderful thing about the gospel and one of its tenets is the read a little further. And always read something in context. Paul did talk about believing, and Paul did teach and believe fervently that embracing and believing and accepting this is the key. Embracing and believing and accepting the full work of the cross would save the soul, would bring salvation. Now, here again, based on the email, we have to go in again and differentiate between redemption and salvation. You see, there is no disagreement here that believing, embracing, adhering to, giving assent to, being affected by the gospel does bring salvation. It does not bring redemption. The gospel will redeem nobody. The gospel has never redeemed anybody. What the gospel tells us about, which is the cross...
Wait, you know what? Wait, I got to stop you there. That is such a phenomenal statement. The gospel has never redeemed anybody.
Yeah.
Why is that, Michael? Why is that?
Before the gospel was anybody said anything about the gospel as far as the reality of the cross had already taken place. Redemption is the act that God carried out in agreement with his son when he broke and canceled out all agreements with the human race. And the last will and testament, you know, I just signed a new will. You know, one of the things in my will, not that anybody's going to enjoy a whole lot out of it, but one of the things in my will is that this last will in the testament supersedes all other wills that may have ever been written. And this truly is what was happening with this will of God and the testament of the blood of Jesus Christ. It canceled out all former agreements, which man failed at anyway, but they were all canceled out completely. Completely they were canceled out. So when you read the covenant which says, I'll do this if you do that, you've got to understand that covenant was canceled out through the blood of Jesus. A new covenant has been established, and it is new, and by virtue of the fact that it is new, Paul said it makes the other old and therefore ready to be folded up and put in a drawer and done away with. He used so many terms about how to deal with the law and or the old covenant, the covenant and covenants that were established or attempted to be established before the cross. Redemption is what God did. Redemption has nothing to do with man's will. It is a human will-free covenant. The covenant of the blood of Christ is free of man's will. The only way it could be effective is if it was freed from man's will. And God implemented this will, and his will was to redeem, was to bring into full relationship, to bring into full compliance to God himself, and to make one with God, canceling out all previous agreements of any kind. So there are no other agreements. For those of you going through the Bible and finding, oh, God said he'd do this if I do that and this and that, sorry, that's been canceled out. There is no other agreement except redemption. So the gospel, no matter how much you share it, it will never redeem anybody. It's never redeemed anybody. The hearing of the gospel saves the soul of the person who has been redeemed. You see, the gospel can only save those who's been redeemed. The gospel can save no one who has not been redeemed. The gospel can save no one unless they have first been redeemed. Now, I told you earlier that I wouldn't teach anything or share anything. If God doesn't do it for everybody, I will tell nobody. So you have to understand that by virtue of my own personal stance, that I believe that God did this for everybody, that everybody was redeemed. And now the option is there. Salvation is not what God does for us. Salvation is what the gospel does for us with our interaction with it. Here's the point of contact. The point of contact is not with God, it is with the gospel. Because you're already one with God, you don't need a point of contact to get you closer to God. The gospel doesn't make you closer to God. The gospel doesn't give you a relationship with God. The gospel doesn't give you fellowship with God. The gospel doesn't give you redemption with God. Jesus did all of that at the cross, and I give him full credit, unlike Christianity does, who gives him almost no credit whatsoever and involves the will of man with the will of God about redemption. We've got to stop allowing this fallacy and this horrible confusion of the truth from just being spewed without being challenged at all. There has to be a voice of challenge.
This is absolutely incredible, what you just heard, folks, because so much of the garbage that occurs in Christianity, starting from Roman Catholicism, is that you need a point of contact with God. The gospel does not provide a point of contact with God. You are as close to God as you're ever. God and you are one.
Yeah.
God lives inside of you, for God's sake. You're never going to get any closer to God than that. The gospel reveals that closeness.
Absolutely.
The gospel confirms that closeness. The gospel renews your soul to that closeness. This is Glenn Klein. It's Gospel Revolution Wednesday night. We're going over a few minutes, and we are happy to welcome online. Speaking of Arkansas, maybe she saw some of the bird droppings. This is a different definition of bird droppings than we've had before. Please welcome online our dear sister, Chris Ann Panther. Chris!
Oh, my gosh, Glenn and Michael, how are you doing?
Oh, my gosh, is right. Chris Ann, how are you, dear? We've been waiting to hear from you from the wilderness.
I know. We've drove through Beebe, Arkansas, on our way, but it must have happened a couple days before. I didn't see any birds at the time. They must have cleaned them up or something. But I'm wondering what it's all about down here. But no, we're back down in Little Rock. We were given 5 weeks off to recover after the first round of chemo for my husband, and he's doing great. And now we're back down for another 3 months, and hopefully that'll hit it all, and he'll be good to go.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, everybody can keep up with this, Chris Ann. Everybody can keep up with this progress that's being made for Steve. And you guys doing this with Facebook, is that right?
Every time I do a journal, I do have it linked to Facebook, so
awesome.
They can go to the Caring Bridge. They can see when I've written something, and the journals are all there from the get-go back in September. So, yeah, I would love to hear from people. Make sure they find the guest book.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I have to tell a story on you, Chris Ann.
Okay, go.
You see, Chris Ann's not even afraid when I say that. You have the voice of the person who is primarily, essentially, and virtually responsible for Mike Williams Ministries being recorded on CD. I just got so many wonderful people that are such a turning point. You know, just the other day we had Chris Ann, we had one of the girls from Canada that was on. She lives now with her husband down in New Mexico. And she was on, and I got to share her story, which was all correct, except she was not in the ministry. She was in school to go in the ministry. But the rest of the story I did have correct, as she had told me. And I got to share with her, you know, you were there. You did something that kept this effort going. She touched me so deeply with her testimony that I knew I couldn't quit. Well, I was in Waterloo, Iowa, and let me see, I can tell you, hold on just a minute, and I'll be able to tell you what year. That would have been in 05, is that right, Chris Ann?
Oh, I think you're right, yes.
I think it was 05.
Yes,
and I just finished doing one of my bigger meetings, with about six people there. And in the Gray's home, another set of dear friends there. And when I finished up, Chris Ann took me to the side. And I don't know if I'd mentioned something about it. I knew that I was trying desperately to get equipment to even begin to start trying to switch this over from tapes, because I knew nobody was listening to tapes anymore. And Chris Ann called me to the side and said, "Mike, how much will it take?" And I said, "Well," I said, "it's going to take $3,000 just to get this off the ground." And she handed me the check. And she said, "Here it is." And now I had nobody on staff. I had nobody to do anything. Now you got to realize, me as handicapped as I was technologically, for sure, this equipment showed up. I am in tears. The duplicating equipment and the CDs, the ink, the cartridges were all there.
Oh,
and it's
wow.
me that's got to do it now. And that
well, I'll tell
started.
You, I just got off the phone with Angela Gray.
Yeah.
And she just, of course, lost the box. We had ordered a whole box of your Gospel 101. And so she just found it in her madhouse. And I'm sending half of them down to you. So, and I share the Gospel with everybody here at the hospital and the wonderful place that God has led us to.
That's so awesome.
And it is wonderful. And I have a pastor that is, you know, of course doesn't agree with me at all, but being very gracious to me and his wife. And I probably shared 3 hours until I forgot about my husband. That's another story. But just want to let you know, though, that, you know, understanding this wonderful message and this wonderful grace, you know, of our Lord has going through this experience of having my husband have a, you know, in anywhere else in the world there would be a death sentence.
Yeah.
And to have this type of cancer.
Gosh.
And then this place coming down here, but it's so been so wonderful not to have to work up my faith. And it has been so, what should I say, relaxing. I mean,
yeah.
Before, from what I came out of and the Word of Faith movement and then having my, you know, I had a dear friend, her sister died of cancer. And that was really the turning point for me. To be open to when Mike came along back there in the 80s. And it was just like, yeah, it's got to be true because it's not working. And,
it don't
it's
work.
So wonderful yeah, and the gospel is just such a wonderful thing. You know, whether, you know, no matter how long he lives or whether I die before him or whatever, it doesn't really matter, you know, and it's been a great experience. But God has
well, you know what you're articulating and manifesting, Chris Ann, is rationality.
Yeah.
And people are irrational even when they're not in crisis. But it's especially wonderful when people are in crisis, which many people are around the world. Many people that are listening to our voices right now, whether it be live around the world or on the archive, are in crisis. And there is a rational disposition, a mental, logical disposition that is rational, that we believe is produced from the gospel, which is the power of God. And it's just nice to hear your laughter and your perspective. And how can people find Caring Bridge? Is that a Facebook page specifically?
No, it's an actual whole separate website. But they can just put in caringbridge.org, O-R-G. And then when you get to their website over on the right-hand side, you can put in Steve Panther, and it's just all one word. You don't put a separation between the two words. And so, okay. But when I go on and journal, which I try to do practically every day, I even put contests out and everything. And I share the gospel. I have fun preaching on it and everything, because it's probably more for me than anybody, than Steve. But you can just put that in there. And then I put a, there's a link to Facebook that I can click on. So when their notification goes out that I have put a new entry into the journal, and so people that are my friends on Facebook then can see that I've added that and they can go to it. So
I see.
It works out great, you know. So, but I just wanted to, you know, I haven't listened for a long time, and I got a brand new computer, and I'm thinking, well, I'm going to try it again. And my gosh, it popped right up. Before, I could not get you guys on at all. So I just wanted to jump in there and say hi to you and let you know that you're in my thoughts and prayers, and I'm so excited to get my CDs in the mail and hand those things out to everybody.
All right, honey. Well, listen, give Steve a hug. Is he got his hair still?
You know, he lost the first round. He lost quite a bit, but he never had to shave his head. He still has a mustache. And I was I heard from this pastor, one of the volunteers at the clinic, had told him last week that she had fought breast cancer and gone through it. And she goes, this chemo that they do down here in Little Rock is for myeloma, multiple myeloma, is about 3 to 5 times stronger than any other chemo that a person goes through. And it's also the pain is that much more. But they are very aggressive in what they do. But they have had, I've spoken to people that have lived 7, 10, 15, 20 years when they were given only 2 months to live, and then they found this place. And
it's amazing.
We found it online before Steve ever got any treatment. So, you know, God has been with us the whole way. He's let us.
Well, you know, he always is.
Yeah, you know, and I don't even ask for it. I mean, that's been so wonderful.
No.
You know, he just knows our needs, you know. So,
Chris, it's all right, so
honey, well,
good
listen,
to hear your voice, dear.
And Jeff. And Jeff wanted to let you know that he's listening and is just loving hearing the sound of your voice as well.
Oh, good. Well, I love you all. Love you all, you guys.
Love you,
all
dear,
right, Chris,
so much.
Ann, give Steve a hug for us.
Absolutely.
Okay, I sure will. All right, God bless you all.
Stay in touch. All right,
bye-bye.
Honey.
Bye-bye.
There's Chris Ann Panther from Waterloo, Iowa, but in Little Rock, Arkansas right now. With Steve, and that was a perfect call, given the the nature of our conversation,
of
our conversation
for sure.
Tonight.
Yeah. You know, the thing really struck me was the fact that you know, they're going through a crisis, but to not have to go through the question of what God is doing, would do, could do, if sin was there, wasn't there, prayed right, did right. Oh, my gosh. I'm just so happy that they don't have to go through that along with this very difficult time. And we're all grateful that so far the chemotherapy is working for Steve. But you know what? I took a little offense to what she said. She said that he didn't have to shave his head yet. Like, that was something wrong with that.
Well, you know, Michael,
I thought that was everybody's goal
everybody's goal is to shave their head. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
No, everybody's goal is not to shave their head, Michael.
It's the prettiest.
If that were true, there would be no Rogaine, there would be no Hair Club for Men, there would be no Propecia.
Yes, preach it, brother. None of that stuff. They'll all be free.
Yeah, but you do rock the bald look very well. There's no doubt about it.
Well, thank you, Glenn.
There's an anointing for you on that. But you do have the facial hair still.
Well, you got to. I'd look like a bowling ball without it.
Well, that's what you think. But I still want to see you before it's all over without any facial hair. At least
it has happened. My passport, all you got to do is look at it. I look like a
bugger. All right, so here's, so here's the deal, folks. You go to caringbridge.org and type in Steve Panther, one word, if you would like to follow the progress of Steve and Chris Ann, and cannot thank them enough for everything that they are doing and have done for the Gospel Revolution. Yeah. Wish them nothing but smooth sailing. And that's it. We're done.
We did it.
One more time, folks, let us hear from you this week at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. We want to thank Jeff Robertson for calling in, for making it safely. We want to thank the police officers in Texas and Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida for not pulling Jeff over on his way to Pensacola or wherever the hell he's at. I want to thank Chris Ann Panther. What's it called?
Wildwood.
All right, we'll just call it Wildwood. That's good.
Oh, there you go.
And of course, to Sean O'Halloran for doing wonders in the studios here in Tampa Bay. We're going to do it again next week. Let us hear from you this week. Until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!